It's nearly 9 a.m. on a workday, but Noah Kaufman, the volunteer manager of the 113th Street Play Garden, cannot help stopping off at this 12-meter by 30-meter green space and turning over the pebbly loam looking for worms for his plot.
New York City is, if anything, is the built environment, right? We have plenty of concrete, we have plenty of bricks, we have plenty of steel. We have little places like this Vespocket Park, which are a small oasis, piece of green, place where trees, whether they're weed trees or fruit trees, which have been planted either by humans or by nature, provide a little place, a little refuge. For the neighbors here on 113th Street, this is our front yard, and we share it.
For Alexandra Patz, this community garden has been a refuge for her and her 7-year-old son ever since her family moved to the Big Apple from the suburbs, where they had their own yard.
When we moved to the city, I was glad to find on this block that there was a little garden where we could become involved, where my son could experience digging and growing things. And actually, it is more me than him, I must be honest. I bring him along to watch and see, but as you can see, he's reading his book. So, but still, he's outside. We can hear the birds tweeting. You know, we're sitting under a tree. There's no leaves yet, but, you know, they're coming. And there's a little bird digging around in the dirt there and, you know, life.
New York's community garden movement began during the 1970s. It was a difficult era when the city's population was declining and many city-owned lots were trash-filled, rat-infested eyesores. Erica Packard of the Manhattan and Bronx Land Trusts, which raise money to buy urban green space and transfer ownership into community hands, says that the city offered to give these lots to organized groups in exchange for improving and maintaining them.
Those neighborhoods were and still are at least served by the existing park system. So they provided some of the only accessible open green space for particularly seniors and children in low-income neighborhoods.
A milestone in the movement was the creation of Operation Green Thumb. It's a program within the city's Department of Parks that offers free gardening classes and light equipment like shovels and rakes. Still, in leaner times, many communities have had to fight to keep control of their gardens when the city wanted to auction off the plots to tax-paying real estate developers. Some green spaces have been lost this way because people couldn't maintain them properly. Community garden organizer Catherine Wint of the Manhattan and Bronx Land Trust says that because these gardens are governed by grassroots volunteers, each with their own agendas, leadership styles, and tastes, keeping them going is an exercise in democracy.
It's different than a park in that sense because individuals in a community garden have to have a relationship and they have to work democratically and they have to come up with procedures to enable them to share this very small space in a way that's going to benefit everyone.
Today, over 500 separate community gardens are succeeding, each in their own way. Indeed, the diversity of plant in the city's community gardens reflects the variety of New Yorkers themselves. For example, one can find a bed of special red peppers planted by a Mexican immigrant family growing next to a stand of flowering peonies tended by a homesick Chinese gardener. And organizer Catherine Wint observes that gardens in African-American neighborhoods often feature the collard greens and black-eyed peas favored on many Southern family farms.
And they hold up that tradition of farming because it's still within the memory of the family. They still go back down south, and their relatives still come up to New York. So it's always a source of pride for them to bring their relatives to the community garden to see that they're continuing this tradition that's gone on in their families for so long. And people walk by and they say, oh, that's a farm. That's a farm.
There is pride on the face of Lori Harris as she surveys the half-square block of green her farm-raised father, now 90, helped create from a rubble-strewn lot in Harlem in 1979.
You have to give back to Earth. You can't just take everything from it. You got to learn how to recycle and clean up. You know, people think groceries come from a grocery store, but they come from a farm. They start somewhere. So you really have to treat Mother Earth right, and she treats you just the same.
Thoughts from a New York community gardener that express the spirit of Earth Day. I'm Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.